Good morning, everyone. I was asked to speak today about our uptake of dose one of the HPV vaccine in year one of the program. We did a preliminary assessment of HPV dose one uptake at the end of November of 2008. And then because not all of the dose one clinics were completed by then, we updated the information to include all doses administered by January 8th of 2009. Coverage was defined for each of the target grades as the number of girls in grade 6 or grade 9 who received at least one dose of HPV vaccine by January 8th, divided by the total number of girls in grade 6 or grade 9, and then we multiplied it by 100%. Now, it would have been ideal to use solely electronic registry data for immunization coverage. Unfortunately, due to the large amounts of work involved in these immunization campaigns and the short turnaround times to reporting of coverage, not all regions were able to completely enter all of their HPV immunizations into their immunization registries in time for a dose one coverage assessment. So the data sources for the numerators and the denominators varied by region. The numerators, that is the number of girls immunized, were either based on electronic immunization registry data or aggregate paper-based reporting. They were assessed using immunization registries for 6 of the 16 health service delivery areas. So that was IFIS for the 4 health service delivery areas in the Interior Health Authority and Paris for Vancouver and Richmond. Because there's no field for grade in IFIS, we had to base our definition or define our grade 6 girls based on the birth cohort or the year that they were born in. So we defined grade 6 girls as those born in 1997 and grade 9 girls as those born in 1994, which means we would have missed girls who were born outside of those years but who were in the appropriate grade and immunized against HPV. The Paris registry used in Vancouver and Richmond does capture grade. The remaining 10 health service delivery areas provided their coverage data as aggregate counts of the girls immunized during the grade 6 and grade 9 school-based clinics. The denominators, that is the total number of girls in grade 6 or grade 9, were either based on Ministry of Education school enrollment data, immunization registry data, or aggregate paper-based reporting. While the Interior Health Authority was able to enter all of their immunizations into IFIS, their denominators, or the total population of girls in grade 6 or grade 9 in IFIS, couldn't be maintained. So we used school enrollment data from education to determine the number of girls in grade 6 and grade 9 in the Interior Health Authority. Vancouver and Richmond have close communication with the schools in their areas, so they use the school enrollment data to actually populate their immunization registry, Paris, so they had complete data. And the remaining 10 health service delivery areas provided their denominators in aggregate. And these were usually based on the school class lists that were provided by the schools to the health regions. So these are our results for dose one uptake in the first year of the program. 64.7% of grade 6 girls and 66.4% of grade 9 girls had received at least one dose of HPV vaccine by January 8th. The coverage rates did vary by health region. So these are the results by health service delivery area. HSDA level coverage rates for dose 1 HPV range from 50.3%, which is the second yellow bar, to 84.1% orange bar. And Linda McKenna will be speaking a little later this morning on the lessons learned from the areas with high and not as high coverage. So these are only coverage results for dose one. Assessment of three-dose coverage has been incorporated into our routine reporting of school-based immunization coverage. The timelines for that are that the regions report to the BCCDC by August 31st, and then we compile the results and prepare a report by October 31st. So in the fall, we should have an idea of how many girls in grade 6 and 9 actually completed the three-dose series. We'll then probably continue with the same procedures for assessing dose one uptake in the coming school year, and we anticipate that we will be continuing this in addition to assessment of three-dose coverage for the first few years of the program. This is because it's an important part of evaluating a new program, and we want to be able to measure improvements quickly, and also because of the high cost of the indicator of coverage is important for budgeting and forecasting. Thank you.
So going on to the results from the first year of the program, we still have, as you know, an incomplete year until the end of June. Immunizations are going to continue to be delivered to these girls, but we've looked at our data in IFIS in terms of the adverse events that have been reported following HPV vaccine receipt. And because this was the first year of the program, and because even prior to the start of the program, there had been concerns raised both in the popular media but also in a couple of publications related to potential adverse of vaccine, what we elected to do for this first year, and we're going to continue during the second year, is to review all serious cases of adverse events reported to us on a case-by-case basis, which includes reading all of the pros that's reported under the comments section for the other severe or unusual event category, and seeing whether we can recode that information into either existing categorical variables in IFES or into newly created variables. And the events that are noted on this slide, the first of these was a publication in the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, so MMWR, from CDC, about syncope after vaccination, most notably that there had been an observed increase in syncopal events after the launch of the HPV program in the United States. So this is not an event that's associated solely with HPV, but in girls, and HPV at this point in time is used exclusively in girls, and they had certainly seen a trend in increase. This was also observed in the Australian program when it was launched a year before our program, and the other publication from Australia related to anaphylaxis following Gardasil receipt in the Australian program, but only in one region of Australia, not throughout the country. And their national committee felt that this was not likely to be a real signal because of the geographic localization of those events. And that publication was in the September issue of the Canadian Medical Association Journal last year. And then there were also two incidents that occurred and received some attention in Canada at the national level in Valencia, Spain. And this was two girls who'd experienced onset of seizures shortly after being vaccinated, both residents of Valencia. Both were managed in an intensive care unit, although I'm not clear why. And in a subsequent review of that was published by the European Medicines Agency, which is the regulatory body in Europe for vaccines, there was basically the comment that following investigation, neither of them had any neurological or physical explanations for what occurred. And even though a diagnosis was not provided, whether it was somatoform or psychosomatic, we don't really know. But there was no clear explanation for these events, and there was no attribution to the vaccine. Even though I think that there had been a lot put on hold during that event that was released, and many thousands of doses from that same lot had been administered without any untoward events observed. So in British Columbia, we have our two cohorts in grade 6 and grade 9 of 23,000 girls in each of those two cohorts. And with our 65% uptake in year one, we estimate that about 90,000 doses of Gardasil will have been administered between September and the end of June. The data that we reviewed for today's presentation is just to the end of April, so still partial year, so some of those 90,000 doses had not yet been administered. And we received a total of 114 events reported from 91 recipients, so some portion of those recipients had more than one event reported. And for the purpose of this analysis, we defined serious events as any event coded as anaphylaxis, convulsion or seizure, encephalopathy, meningitis and or encephalitis, anesthesia paresthesis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, or this category of other severe or unusual event. And we had a total of 16 of those events reported among 15 individuals. Three of those were hospitalized, two following a syncopal episode with a tonic-clonic movements noted, and one reported as other severe or unusual without any details provided in the comments field, so we can't tell you what that consisted of.